Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Yesterday morning, at the beach, the full moon was going down over the Gulf as we were getting ready to sit. And it came to me that the Dharma is in plain sight, yet it is nowhere to be found. Because nothing is seen, because not seeing is seen, because seeing isn't seeing. What mortals see are delusions. True vision is detached from seeing. The mind and the world are opposites, and vision arises where they meet. When your mind doesn't stir inside, the world doesn't arise outside. When the world and the mind are both transparent, this is true vision, and such understanding is true understanding. To see nothing is to perceive the way, and to understand nothing is to know the Dharma, because seeing is neither seeing nor not seeing, and because understanding is neither understanding nor not understanding. Seeing without seeing is true vision. Understanding without understanding is true understanding. That was from Bodhidharma. That is a description of don't know mind. No matter what our karma is, no matter what place in life we are, we always have this ability to don't know. When your mind is clear like space, you can act clearly. When your mind is full of deluded thoughts and you're attached to them, the outcome is probably going to be different. So when someone insults you and you feel hurt, or something is happening in your environment that you don't like, what needs to change first before anything else? Your attachment to outcome, I, me, and mine, that needs to change first. Then the outcome changes almost all by itself. Whatever action you take is wise action as opposed to ignorant action. We're all taught to think that our thinking is who we are. Remember, eating an apple doesn't require you to think it's an apple. That comes after the fact. Walking, sleeping, eating, working, it doesn't require I, me, mine, making. It doesn't require judgment about I'm being treated fairly, I'm being treated unfairly, this is that, this is those. They're over there, I'm over here. Freedom is living within all of that without attachment. So even Buddha, when he was laying down and had been poisoned and was dying and was in severe pain, he was free. The Dharma is in plain sight, but it's nowhere to be found. You can't chase it down with your thinking mind. There's no education here. other than wake up. So yes, we have tools, wonderful ways to recognize our deluded view about ourselves and our world and to get over ourselves so that we can contribute more effectively. Light and love, compassion doesn't require judgment about ourselves or anyone else. Whatever needs to happen in this moment happens when you get out of the way. The whole Zen saying about chopping wood, carrying water, what does that mean? Just chop wood, just carry water. Eat, sleep, dream, love, work, live out a good life, contribute. This is the ultimate goal. It's freedom from our deluded view. Simple. Asking questions and participating is a very important part of it, because it's the only way of reflecting whether we're getting it or not, and where we're, you know, off the track, so to speak, where we're making something up and we don't realize it. So by asking a question, we're exposing ourselves. It's wonderful. And now I'd like to open it up.
Morning. Thank you for your talk. So in relation to, you know, seeing but not seeing, understanding but not understanding, that equanimity that for me is samadhi, and that I attain at times during my meditation. Overarching that is, was trying to put into context what's going on politically, both in this country with the recent voter suppression, and also in a place like Myanmar, where there's a bloody battle. So I'm interested in how you see our Zen practice in that, in those types of contexts, in that, to me, striving to be a bodhisattva means that not only do I, again, try to achieve that equanimity in my mind, in my being, but I have a responsibility to end suffering.
So let me ask you, what are you doing when you are watching things that are happening outside of your circle of ability to affect? What are you doing when you're watching the news and getting impressions, and how that is taking you away from what might be happening right here in your control in terms of what you can do? So the world is always this way. Now, if you were in the midst of it, if you were in Myanmar, or if you lived in Georgia, or if there was something you could do in the state of Florida as an activist, then you just do it. Don't make it something. If there's something that you need to do right now, chop wood, carry water, then do it. Otherwise, it's just dreaming. It's just fantasizing. It's just another form of addiction. You understand?
I understand, but I don't agree. I don't agree because I am responsible.
For what?
I'm responsible for being a citizen of the country and of the world.
So how does that make you responsible for what's happening in these different states?
I'm not responsible for other people's misdeeds, but I am responsible to try to end suffering. And that means everything that I come into contact with.
There's no Ross that ends suffering.
I end suffering by being compassionate. If you're struggling with a problem and I'm able to hear what your struggle is because you share it with me,
right,
then I could be compassionate.
Right.
And that's so correct. I'm helping in that way.
That's correct. But that's not the same as watching the news.
Can I offer something? I once, when I first started to get into Buddhism, read, I don't even know what it is, but it was a story about how everybody is on the same journey up the same mountain, and we're all trying to reach the peak, but we all have different ways of getting there. And it's not our place necessarily to help people find the way up. That's something everybody has to do for themselves, but we can help those who are taking the same path as us without losing our own way as we try to go higher up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do anything about the landslide on the other side other than, you know, hope for the best for them, but you have to carry on your own path and help those that you can help. And I really like that story. I don't know if it's a story or a parable or whatever it was, but I always relate to that when I think about my involvement with other people. Is I can't save everybody because I'm not on the same path as them, but I can only help those around me that I can help, and myself.
Yes, thank you.
I don't think we're saying anything different.
But I think it's very common to have guilt about these things, especially if you're somebody who's on a path like this, passionate person. I struggle with it. And a lot of times I think guilt makes you feel like you should be doing more, you know? And guilt is really just a way of making yourself feel better.
Yeah.
I don't think I feel guilty. I just recognize that I can't divorce myself from everything that's going on around me and what else, and all the injustices that occur. To whatever small extent I can be helpful, that's my obligation to do that.
So how do we save all sentient beings?
Wonderful question. By waking up. There's been a lot of times in my life that I've found ways to rationalize my attitude towards others, justify my anger, question my self-worth, cause others close to me to suffer greatly because of my attitude. So if I'm not awake, I'm deluded. And if I'm deluded, I'm causing suffering. So I'm not saving sentient beings. Buddha laid all this out for us. Buddha expressed it through offering us these expedient means, such as the old Eightfold Path. Bodhidharma offered it. Understand your own mind as being ways of understanding how we delude ourselves. Each moment gives us another opportunity. There is no separation between what we call ourselves and the whole universe in actuality. The separation is just a delusion, just a made-up thing. It's based on having a body, hearing, seeing, thinking, consciousness, etc. These are the things that create us as we think we are. It's these attachments to this consciousness of self. Bodhidharma has no attachment to self. A bodhisattva has no attachment to self. As long as you have attachment to self, there is other. There is duality. This is suffering. How do you save all sentient beings? It's a great question. Wake up. Then compassion naturally arises. It's no work. It's not something you do. There's no doing, no making. Yet there's no not doing or not making. This understanding doesn't come easily. The firm knot of identity . Open that up. Stop clinging. Let it go. See what happens. You'd be surprised. That's all I have to say. I hope that was helpful. It's wonderful to have you with me this morning, all of you. Thank you for your questions and your comments. As always, thank you.